There's a story about two missionaries who were going door to door. They knocked on the door of a woman, and she was not happy to see them. She told them in no uncertain terms that she didn't want to hear what they had to say, so she proceeded to slam the door in their face. But, miraculously, the door didn't close. It snapped back at her. So this time she tried a little harder, and again, the door snapped back at her. Convinced that one of the missionaries must be sticking their foot in the door, trying to keep the door from closing, she really rears back this time and about to slam it when one of the missionaries said to her, "Ma'am, before you do that, I suggest you move your cat." Luke tells us today in the gospel about Jesus sending out the 70. He sent an advance party to plan where he planned to go himself. And he told them to offer healing and peace and to announce that the kingdom of God had come near. Now practice saying this to yourself, either now or later or another day. The kingdom of God has come near me. You can whisper it to yourself. You can shout it out loud, whatever you like. And he didn't send them out alone. He sent them in pairs. This way they could give each other encouragement and hold each other accountable. The 70 disciples went on a universal mission to all the nations of the earth, including the Gentiles and the Samaritans. And the nation of Israel, the Jews, did not get along with the Samaritans, so this must have been quite a shocker to them. Just this week, our own Church of the Messiah has sent out our own missionaries to spread the word that the kingdom of God has come near. The 70 were delegated to discover new opportunities to share the message with the people and bring the people into the kingdom. So why did he send out 70? Why not 80, 100, 1,000? Certainly they could cover more ground and spread the message faster. Well, most scholars believe that the 70 represents the 70 Gentile nations that were in the world at that time. And God's intention was to take the message to the entire world, not just the Israelites, not just the Jews. Throughout history, we've had a lot of great duos. We've had Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, if some of you may not know who they are. Adam and Eve, Batman and Robin, Abbott and Costello. And what do about these people in pairs that have to do with today's gospel? Well, I want to focus in on the message of companionship. Luke writes, "After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them ahead in pairs." Jesus sent them in pairs. Why? They could have covered more ground if they sent each one individually. But like I said before, two can hold each other accountable and give each other encouragement when no one's listening. I mean, I could go out and give someone the message, but they may or may not listen to me. But if Mother Tracy came with me, or Father Sinair came with me, and they heard the same thing I told them, it might be more believable. We had a sample of that earlier before this service. And so this way, the message was more trustworthy. So there's an important message in this, an important idea. It's to be reminded that when we gather here today in community, we gather as a group, that we're not alone, that we are part of the great cloud of witnesses and disciples of Jesus. And when Jesus sent these guys out, he didn't tell them they were going out on a picnic. I mean, he was really blunt. He told them, "I'm sending you out as lambs into the midst of wolves." Pretty scary. And he gave them instructions. "Don't take anything with you. Don't talk to anybody. When you get to town, accept whatever hospitality they give you. Don't go looking for the most comfortable bed. Don't go looking for the best cook in that town. Go and humble yourself before God. And tell them the kingdom of God is near." And he says near, not soon. Theologians like to talk about the already and not yet. The kingdom of God is here already, because Jesus has come as the Son of God. But it's not yet fulfilled. It's not yet. And that will happen when he returns again. But in the meantime, we are his laborers. We are to make that kingdom more accessible and more real. And when the disciples go out, they don't have really high expectations of themselves, because when they come back, they are over the moon how good things have gone. They cannot believe it, because when they went out, they probably went out pretty timid. They didn't really sure what they were missing was and how they were going to accomplish it. But God was with them, and he used them. And you can just see Jesus nodding and smiling as they're all excited. But then he tells them, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." In other words, it's not about the great stuff that you've accomplished. It's about presenting God's presence to the people there. And we're like the 70 in the gospel story. When things are going really great in our lives, we sometimes have a hard time accepting it. And that's because most of the time we're focusing on the negative part of our life. When things are going bad, when we're in the hospital, when we've been given a bad diagnosis, when we didn't get the job we thought we were going to get. But we need to remind ourselves that God is always there and always present. Inside the bulletin today, you will find in your sermon notes a little poem, Footprints in the Sand, one of my favorites. Hang on to it. Keep it, put it in your wallet, put it in your purse, keep it in your home. And whenever things are looking not that great, reflect on it. And this is about a man who's walking along, and Jesus is with him, and there are two footprints. But at times, there's only one set of footprints. And he says to Jesus, "I thought you were always going to be with me, yet when my life was down, there's only one set of footprints." He goes, "Yes, because those are the times that I was carrying you through your troubles." So we're never alone. The gift of being a follower of Christ comes to us in many ways. Through the people around us, could be family members, our own Messiah Church family, our companions who are sent with us in this journey of life. Christ comes to us in the persons of others. And like Jesus sending out the 70, God does not promise that our life, our journey, will be without any problems. They're there, but we have to focus that God is with us no matter what. We are the body of Christ. St. Teresa of Avila said, "Christ has no body on earth but yours." That's us. "No hands but yours. No feet but yours. Yours are the eyes who, with the compassion of Christ, looks out on the world. Yours are the feet which he is about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless others now and every day." Jesus is depending on us. So let us come to this table and pray. Come to this sacred table, not because you must, but because you can. Come to testify that you are not righteous, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be his true disciple. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. And sin cannot stand in your way, and you need God's mercy and help. Come not to express an opinion, but seek God's presence and pray for his spirit. Come, for the kingdom of God has come near to you, and Christ is inviting you to be part of it. Amen.